Securing Fellowship, with today being part three of three, the last part. Let's begin today by quickly reviewing the last area of Scripture that we finished last Sabbath, because it ties in with where we're going today, and I think it'd be wise to review these particular verses here in 2 Corinthians, where we ended last Sabbath. 2 Corinthians, and right in chapter 1, and again, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And if you remember last Sabbath, the reason we're going over this again, this word comfort is a word for, that means in the Greek language, encouragement, exhortation, to call near or to call close. In other words, the desire is here to call near or to bring near into a relationship, or if you will, in order to encourage, order to exhort, and it means to console as well, consolation, as it's translated sometimes. So like the word to console someone, that's the desire, and need to be near in order to do that. That's hence the reason for a part of the usage of the word here sometimes, to call near or to call close. Because there is a desire here then to comfort, to console, to encourage, or to exhort. All these words can be there. Sometimes even exhortation, if you will, as a matter of helping people to get back on the right track, or whatever it might be, or to encourage someone through something they're going through. And so God, it says, that the God of all comfort. So God gives those things to us. There are things we look to God for. God is the primary one. Frankly, when we're going through any kind of trial or difficulty and are feeling down or whatever it might be, we look to God to comfort us, to strengthen us by His Spirit, because it's something that God gives through the power of His Spirit. There's a peace that comes from God, blessings that come from God that are through the Holy Spirit that only He can give. And certainly then, if we can do those things ourselves, as Paul goes on to explain in some of these things, he says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. And so it's God who is with us. If we look to Him, if we're asking Him to be with us through whatever we go through, it doesn't mean we're not going to go through them. It just means we can have God with us to encourage us, to help us through those things. Some things are there by design. Some things are there as a part of a process for us to learn from and to grow through. And if God took away all the trials and all the troubles, all the difficulties of life, we would not be able to grow and mature in this life. We're called. Part of that purpose, as some scriptures talk about, even for the purpose of suffering in this life, because it's through suffering, it's through difficulty, it's through hardship that we reach deeper down inside and ask questions and seek to know ourselves more and understanding why we think the way we do. And it's through that process of understanding the mind of God, revealing to us the very way we think and why we think and why we're motivated to do the things we do, that we're able to make changes. Our life is one of change, to think differently. That's why I love the word repentance in the New Testament, because it means literally to think differently. And then the word, as it talks about, to convert, you know, repent and be converted, as it talks about over there in Acts chapter 3, when they ask, you know, what they should do, you know, on the day of Pentecost. And they were told to repent and be converted. Convert means to return or to turn around toward God, turn toward God. And the word repent means to think differently. So that's the process we have to go through. It's a matter of the changing of the way we think, of our minds. And they must come into unity and harmony with God. I think I turned that down probably a little too much. There's probably too much cool air coming out now on some of you, isn't there? Would you turn it up just a teeny bit? Because otherwise I don't want to stop here and then people out there wondering what's going on. So just a little higher to the right there. Yeah, on the top. It'll just go to the right a little bit and watch how far it goes just a little ways. I guess I could have done it myself. I just wanted to keep talking here while people are connected out there. And for the tape. But anyway, it goes on to say, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. In other words, we go through things sometimes so that we in turn can learn through this process, and so that this can work in us in a greater way, in a better way, to be able to help others in the body. And that's what Paul is explaining here. He says, who comforts us, speaking of God in all of our tribulation. And so that Paul says, of things that they must go through, that they have to go through as well, that Paul had to go through and others had to go through. He said that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. So it's a process that Paul learned through so he could understand the value of that, so we could all learn and understand the value of helping and of using and utilizing God's Spirit. So it says to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort, in other words, the consolation, the exhortation, the encouragement, wherewith we ourselves are comforted, again, the same word of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And so it's something that works in us, in a body, in the church, to help us so that this power of God can work through us. And this is really what grace is all about. And it works in so many ways, whether it be the power of God's love, many different ways of explaining this. But Paul breaks this down in a specific word to choose here about encouragement and exhortation and being able to help others. Because of the things we suffer, we look to God and we're thankful to God for the comfort, the help He gives to us. And we learn through that process, our minds begin to change more. We look to God then with a desire to help others when they're going through those things, to say the right thing. And sometimes it's a matter of even just crying out to God. We don't know what to say, or even sometimes when to say it. And that's something that, matter of fact, I had a little conversation this morning a little bit about there are certain things that whenever it comes to the body, the church, that we must look to God and ask God to know the timing of when it's best, because we want to be led by God's Spirit, to know the words to speak, not to even sometimes perhaps to think about different things. But when it comes down to being able to be with someone, to talk to someone, to look to God for the right words to even speak, to say. And so it's not a matter of something we do on our own apart from God. It's something we do because we recognize the value of it, and so we look to God to help us to be able to be an instrument in that regard or a tool in that regard to encourage, to exhort, whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, at the right time. And something we should seek to do all the time. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Isn't that amazing? Paul said, if we go through hard times, if we go through difficult times, he said, it's for your sakes. It's for your benefit. It's for your comfort, for your consolation, for your encouragement, for your exhortation. And so it's something that works within the church in a very powerful way, always has. And all of us, if we don't go through different things and change through that process, then we're not going to be as valuable. You know, this way of life, we're going to remain the way we are, and that's a state of selfishness. We must change. So it's a matter of growing. So it goes on to say, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, same word, and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. You know, in other words, sometimes it's through different things that people suffer even, whether it be, in this case, Paul was saying for himself, he said that this was even helpful to the church in a different regard even there. That not only can we be blessed to be able to see the need of it and ourselves desire to be a part of that in helping others, but also because of the things we suffer, it helps others. If they're a part of the body and we recognize a part of the body is suffering, what are we supposed to do? We know we're to suffer with it. You know, if the body is hurting, then we should understand we're hurting. And we should pray for them accordingly. And so it's a benefit to us. And so the church, when they understood the trials and difficulties that Paul was going through, it was like a rallying thing for them as well to help them to draw closer to God, to cry out to God. And so Paul was willing to go through those things and desired to go through those things if it was a benefit to the church. And we must understand that ourselves. Sometimes suffering can benefit others. And I've seen that over and over and over again in the church. It doesn't mean it's easy, but if we understand, like we talked about last Sabbath, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, regardless of what it is in your life, understand. Cry out to God, regardless of what it is you suffer, and this ties in beautifully today with what we're going to end it, where we're going to end. Understand that sometimes if we can go through suffering to benefit someone else, because someone else sees what we're going through, their heart goes out to us, it's working something within them by the power of God's Spirit because they're looking to God for help, then something can work in them as well as the one who's suffering. It can benefit the entire body because it helps people to draw closer to God. There are all kinds of things. It can help people draw closer to God. It can help people's hearts and minds, if you will, their attitude towards others change to where they feel a greater compassion because they see someone suffering and sometimes not even knowing perhaps what to say, and sometimes perhaps there's nothing to say. But they can pray about it. They can go to God and cry out to God for help to be upon them. And this is working something in them as well, in the individual, because they're exercising God's Spirit and they're desiring to change and they're desiring to see help be given to someone else because their heart, their attitude, their desire goes out toward them. And then think of the blessings then as they see God intervene. You know, sometimes we go through trials and difficulties, not sometimes, a lot of times. We've all experienced this, where we go through different trials and difficulties, and it's hard, it's difficult, and other brethren are praying about it, but what an incredible blessing. It doesn't mean an instantaneous answer, but through the suffering. See, there wouldn't be any suffering if God always intervened immediately, and sometimes we wouldn't learn as much. We wouldn't grow as much. I think of things that have happened, and you can too, of different times when we've had to make decisions within the church of what we're going to do. Especially some of the great decisions, greater decisions, when there was the first time that anyone broke away from the Worldwide Church of God. And all the traumatic things you went through in relationships and friendships and so forth. And it's through those sufferings, but it doesn't happen instantaneously. Some of those things carry on in your life and hurt for a long, long time. There can be pain there in situations that come up maybe even years later that go all the way back to that point in time. And so it doesn't mean that God takes everything away immediately, but it means we have an opportunity to grow. And as we pray about others who are going through those things, just like nowadays, you know, when someone calls or they write or whatever communication they have with us, and they're the first time they come in contact with us, and so often you can tell where they are by what they have read or what they have heard, and you see a process that's going on in their life, and you realize they have to go through this process. You can't speed it along. You can't even tell them the eventual outcome and everything that's going to happen and how it's going to happen, but you know because you've been down that road many times. And so there's a way of working with people. There's a way of encouraging people. There's a way of having patience with people sometimes because we see there's a process that people must go through. And so there are so many things we learn. This is a part of what Paul is explaining here that helps us to draw closer to God. There is a consolation and encouragement of being an ability of being drawn near to God, if you will, through this process of suffering that we go through. So again it says, which is effectual, in the middle of verse 6 here, in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, again, same word, it is for your consolation, same word. Again, if we be encouraged or comforted, it is for your encouragement and comfort and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers, again, that word we've looked at so many times, in other words, to become a sharer together with others, to be a partaker, you know, fellowship, that word and how to use in different ways, to be made a partner of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. And so if we're willing to enter into a suffering with others in the body of Christ and not to bury our head in the sand and not to ignore it or because it's inconvenient for us or whatever, I think of this just like this last series went through here recently and knowing sometimes the response of people and wondering, well, you're not even in that group with that group of people. You know, why do you say anything about it? Why don't you just mind your own business? You know, because some of that's already been flying around, and it's going to fly around some more. I know, as time goes along. So why would you say anything about that? You know, it goes back to something that happened here in Detroit, as an example. Since we're in Detroit today, remember these things. I remember being in the living room with one individual and his wife and another individual that was there, and another time in a car sitting in a parking lot in order to meet someone because they were from another farther area away over here, and they talked about some of the same things, and basically they wanted me to shut my mouth. Basically wanted me to just ignore what's going on in California, don't say anything about it, because we can be separate here, and we don't have to worry about those things, and we can have our own nice fellowship here, and nothing else bothers us. That is so lacking. That is so blind. Why? Because we're all a part of the body of Christ. If we're a part of the body of Christ, if one part of it is hurting, is suffering, is going through difficulty, then we're all suffering as a result of it. And to not address it, to not talk about it, would be a big mistake on our part. To not learn through the process, especially in different situations or circumstances when that arises. We're a part of a body. The body is not a single physical organization today. We are scattered all over the world. And people are scattered all over the world. And we must be able to address those situations. So, again, beautiful verse here that says that as you are partakers, you know, sharing together, fellowshipping together of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation, the comfort, the encouragement. So if we're not willing to enter into that, we're not going to receive what we need. And I think of some of those today who have gone through a lot of different things, and where are they today? Where are they? What are they sharing in? Are they sharing in the consolation, the comfort, the encouragement of God? Absolutely not. They're still going through trials and hardships and difficulties because of a resisting of certain things there, of not recognizing the body for what it is, not understanding the body of Christ, if you will. Let's go over to Romans 12 now. Romans chapter 12. We must understand the body of Christ. We must understand the church of God. We must understand what we've been called to be a part of. And we're not just on the receiving end. We're not just to receive grace. We're not just to receive God's love. On the contrary, it's to work through us to benefit others, to help and share with others, even if it's in suffering. Because even in suffering, there is growth. There is maturing that can take place with God's Spirit. This is something that Satan doesn't understand. Satan doesn't grasp. How often have to think about Job. That's a good example. See, Job saw the suffering. You know, he experienced the suffering, and Satan saw those things and brought those things upon him because he wanted him for Job to turn from God. That's what Satan's desire was. What happened? On the contrary, the very thing that Job went through is the very thing that helped turn Job to God more, to help open up his eyes so he could see that God was drawing him and working with him, that he was able to understand something that if he hadn't gone through those things, he wouldn't have seen what he saw. And so I think of this over and over again for people that God has worked with through time. That has to be such a frustrating thing for Satan because he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the power of God's Spirit and how God's Spirit can work in our lives, that when we go through suffering, that's the very thing through which we can grow and mature and become stronger. What an incredible thing. So it works against Satan and what he strives to accomplish and what he strives to do because he doesn't get it. He can't understand it. He can't see that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." And so there is a love, the most basic of attitudes we should have toward each other. And it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." So even there, you know, we should have a desire toward each other in a fellowship together within the church. In honor, it says here, preferring one another. You know, there's something we have to look at in ourselves and asking, is that my attitude toward everyone in the body of Christ? Is that what I feel? Is that what I think? In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. We're going to go through this verse here right now because I'm going to go back here in a moment and look at this in context, but let's just go ahead and go through it speedily right now. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing. Interesting word, because it's the same word we've been looking at through this sermon series, used in the form of a verb here, meaning talking about fellowship, talking about this word that's used as communion sometimes, a sharing together with others, a joint participation. So it says here that there's a fellowship, a communion, as it says here, a sharing together to the necessity of the saints given to us. What does that mean? Given to hospitality. Well, they chose a particular word that's not very, just not translated as a whole this way, but it helps to get across a part of what's being talked about here, but we can understand it more deeply, if we will. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, the word for fellowship here, that we've been looking at and how it's used, a sharing together with others, to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Let's go back and read this in context now because it's easy to go through verses like this and go through them speedily and miss so much that's there and not understand what all we're being told. And sometimes to better understand things out of a scripture, it's good to go back and look at the context. What is being said? What are they being told? And where is it leading us? And so often we can learn so much more that way. Let's go all the way back to verse 1 in this case. Verse 1, and just notice the context of what's being said, of what it means to share in or to fellowship in the necessity of the saints that it leads us up to here. Verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And so we're being told right away here, in the beginning of this verse here, God says that there's something we're supposed to do within the church of God. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not as a one-time sacrifice that Jesus Christ had to come and do to this earth for all of mankind, but he uses that to show us that there's something we're to do on a continuing basis. That this is the kind of attitude in mind, even if it leads to one's death. You know, a willingness, an attitude of mind. But to understand this is something we're to do on a continual basis. That's why it's called a living sacrifice. It's done over and over and over again in our lives. That is the way of Jesus, the way of Jesus Christ, frankly, and what he did. You know, the sacrifice he made from the very beginning and on through his life until an ultimate sacrifice. And so that example is used to show us that we're alive, you know, but we're to sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's even put in a context here of being a matter of service, of serving others, and helping us to understand that service requires sacrifice. That if it comes natural, if it comes easy, as far as human beings concerned, I can guarantee you can go back and trace it back, and you're going to find selfishness there. Because God's Spirit has to be in it. And if God's Spirit is living in a human being, then He's going to have to be exercising that, and it means sacrifice. Because God's love is different from our love. Our love tends to be inward and selfish, and we're going to take care of this first. If God's Spirit can work in us more and more, then that can be turned and changed. That attitude of mind and the way we think. But there will always be sacrifice in one respect, if we understand it. But as time goes along and as we grow in that, we recognize that in that is joy and fullness of life. That's the enjoyable way. That's the fulfilling way to see others benefit, whatever anyone sacrifices. Because what you're sacrificing, in essence here, is your human nature. It is something about ourselves. And ourselves is selfish. Ourselves, that's what's being sacrificed, is the selfishness. That's what we're talking about here. That wasn't all totally perfect English, but I was doing that for a purpose. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, we're not to do things the way the world does. We're not to even worry about how the world goes about doing things. We need to be concerned about how God wants us to do it, how God wants us to live. So be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. You know, so many people will compromise because of how people think and what people think of us. You know, and sometimes even within the church. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Beautiful word here. This word here, to be transformed. Metamorpho. I believe that's the correct word. The transformation that is to totally take place, the changing of our mind. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's, again, that's a part of repentance, brother. Repent. Think differently. The mind must change. And all of us within the church, we're going to go through that till the day we die or until the day we change. This mind must continually be changed and go through the process of change. Maturing, that's the maturing process. That's why the sermon's titled A Maturing Fellowship, because we're focusing on fellowship, but a maturing fellowship. It's something we must grow in. So it says, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. So it's by this changing of the mind and by exercising and doing things the way God says to do that we're able to prove and become more deeply convicted that God is right, that what God says is good. And so as the mind is being changed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we go through many things. And so much of what we go through is the exercising sometimes then, not sometimes, but we must do it regularly. We must learn to do it and cry out to God for help to do it. This matter of sacrifice to benefit someone else. That's the greatest kind of love there is, brother. Sacrifice for the benefit of someone else. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, see, self, more highly than he ought to think. You know why this is being brought into the picture? Because this is what keeps us selfish. This is what keeps us in that state where we're protecting self and taking care of self. And we recognize that has to change. We have to cry out to God to help us to ever get rid of that, to change, and to be able to be, to have more of the mind of God, if you will, the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. That's the transforming of the mind that God is doing by the power of His Spirit within us. And so we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And so often that keeps us from serving because we are justified or we have reasons why we can't do or say or why we're limited in doing various things. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. To think soberly. To recognize we have a responsibility and God has told us some incredible things that we're to do, and yet we know we can't do it unless we look to Him for help to do it. Just like these verses, to fulfill them, to accomplish them, means that God has to be with us. Fellowship with God. A sharing with God. It's the only way that we can live our lives the way we need to, because God has to be in it. And the more the body is able to share in that same life, the richer the body is amongst themselves, among themselves, with one another in a fellowship. That's beautiful. That's good. And so we're ever to grow in that, more mature. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, and sometimes in times past, this was focused on more as offices within the church. People were more moved and motivated in many cases by rank, which is wrong. You know, there's a right thing to understand that there is government, that there's a way that God functions, there's a way a family functions. But how many times in a family do people get all hooked up and hung up on, and maybe sometimes you have to learn those things, obviously, but, you know, about the parents. The parents have a responsibility with the children, and there's a way the family works, the husband, the wife, the mother, the father, the children. But how often do you hear families talking about the rank that each person has and what each child has? You know, there's some things that are just learned through time that become a part of our lives that we function and we work together in a certain way. We learn to do those things together in a certain way. But in the church, some of those things became lopsided and people became more concerned about, in many cases, being ordained. I have known of so many people that have come to destruction, have been spiritually destroyed, if you will, because their motivation was a desire to be ordained. A deacon, a deaconess, an elder, blah, 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 thinking that that is the height of whatever. I think, what a pathetic, sick thing in our lives that we think that way. And yet, as human beings, we have those battles and those struggles. And there are people, oh, I can tell you some horror stories and things that sometimes are laughable. They're so ridiculous of how far people went because they wanted recognition from others in the church. They thought there was some great honor in certain things, that they have greater honor from others. And it's just like politics in the world. People, there's power. And in politics, and even in society, people love it. They enjoy it as much as riches because it's about self and it's about what self is getting out of it. And that's not what it's about. The word here literally means in the Greek, it's a word that means job, responsibility, work, deed. That's the word. That's what it means. And so it says, and all members have not the same work. We don't all have the same job. But we all have work to do. It's not just about certain ones who are ordained to a specific service or whatever in the body of Christ as far as an elder is concerned or whatever it might be. That's not what it's all about. It's about things we have to do within the church. Jobs, responsibilities, different things. As far as our calling is concerned, we all have responsibility within the body of Christ, within the church of God. That's why using that example earlier about individuals who didn't want to know what was going on in California at one time with a group, with an organization, and they'd rather we be separate here and not have anything else to do with the rest of the church, per se, or the body and what was going on, is a total absence of understanding of something here, of what we're talking about. Because we all have responsibility toward one another within the body. To pray for, desire a certain unity and harmony and order, and be able to, if we don't know what's going on, we can't pray effectively or efficiently, let alone respond if we have to come to a point where we have to respond accordingly. That's why I marvel today that there are still people and situations, perhaps I shouldn't go through this, but I think I might as well mention it because they have to make some choices. The opportunity of visiting with someone not too long ago here and still in worldwide, and I think, you know, the situation there, I listened to certain things that were said and love them as a part of the body of Christ. But they have to come to a point in time where they understand that by giving tithes to, by supporting, by still being there, that they are enabling individuals to still tear down the church of God. If everyone would take their money and go elsewhere and recognize they are not to give their money to something like that, because that's God's money. That's the tithe is God's, first and foremost. And if we give it to someone who is not representing God, if we give it to someone who is hurting what God is doing and working against God, that'd be as insane as some of these organizations out here and charities that they're cracking down on here in the United States that are sending their money over to help Hamas or some of these different terrorist groups. You think, what a hideous thing, you know? What a hideous thing. And so we all have responsibility within the body of Christ. We all have a function. If we can see ourselves as a part of the body, it doesn't matter where we are in the body. There's not a part of your body that you can do without or that you want to do without. Not doesn't mean that there might be certain parts that you could live without or whatever, but you're going to know it, you know, and it's going to affect you. And so we desire that the body be whole and healthy. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In other words, the message is, you can say it in a lot of different ways, we need each other. We need each other, and we frankly need each other to be healthy spiritually. We need each other to be healthy spiritually. And the healthier we are, the better our fellowship is. We need each other to be drawing closer to God. Because as everyone draws closer to God, then the body is healthier, and even what we receive out of it then, the blessings we receive, the encouragement, the strength, the comfort, the consolation, the inspiration becomes greater and greater. It grows in greater magnitude. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, brethren, to understand. How does it say it over here in Ephesians? I love how it's stated over in Ephesians. I didn't even think about that in the sermon and how it's stated there, but the term comes to mind and how it's stated there. Chapter 4 and verse 16, we're going to come back to this in a moment, but it says, well, let's back up before that. But speaking the truth in love, in agape, with God's love, in other words, God has to be in it for it to be truthful in the first place, and to be able to use it the right way, it must have God's love in it, God's Spirit in it, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So every part of the body must give. Every part of the body has a responsibility. Every part of the body has a function, has a job. And that's what this is saying in Romans. Not an office in the context of offices, you know, rank. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about job, responsibility, deed, working. They all have things to do. And if part of the body isn't working, that hurts the body. So we need the body to mature and to grow, and the more it matures and grows, this is exactly what takes place. This is the desire, this is the goal, this is the aim. According to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in agape. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's a marvelous thing that God is doing and working with us, and His Spirit working with us, and helping us to mature and grow, and that as we mature and grow in our fellowship and our sharing with Him, we're able to grow in our fellowship and maturing with one another. And as we all grow and mature and respond individually, and are able to have God's Spirit living within each and every one of us, more and more that takes place, the better the body is, the healthier the body is, the more mature. And the better the fellowship and the sharing together becomes and the consolation becomes. So it's a very powerful thing. That's an excellent verse here that explains all of that, of what Paul is explaining here in Romans. He said, you know, there are so many things in the Bible that are just said many different ways to help us get the point, to help us learn, to understand. And the more you narrow it down, the more you narrow it down, you know what you come down to? Just like they asked Christ, you know, what is the great commandment of the law? And He gave two. And you just keep breaking it down and breaking it down, and then finally come to John, back in 1 John. God is agape. And when we understand what agape is, then all the law and everything else in relationships and life flows from that. And so we're being taught and trained and helped to learn, and the mind being transformed and changed so that that mind can be more and more within us. And it is a battle. And we fight constantly in this world. And the things in this world, you know, the physical world around us, the more technology is, the greater those battles are. We have a great training ground, frankly. We really do. We have a great training ground. That's why we should know and understand that there are unique things that God would be preparing us for that are different from people 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. All through time, God had been preparing different ones for different things within the body, within the temple, if you will. And that's why I marvel at the things we're going through now, because we should know, and know that we know, now more than ever before, because of what we're going through, because of the uniqueness of things that we have in this world around us, and the pressure cooker that's here, that we have incredible opportunities ahead of us that are going to be very rich in that respect as far as serving and helping within the temple, within the body. Great opportunities and great blessings. So going on here back in Romans chapter 12 again. As it says here, I want to read this again, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same, again, work, job, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, this has caused people problems. This has caused people difficulty sometimes, wondering, well, what is my gift? What is my gift? I've heard of individuals talking about it. I heard an individual, my wife's kind of grinning over there a little bit because she knows exactly what I'm talking about, because we went around a little bit with an individual and some of these things, and you can't make people see things. A particular individual, elder that we had a relationship with, and didn't continue to focus on some of these things in a wrong way, in an unsound way, didn't grasp, didn't understand what God was showing us, what God was giving to us. And anyway, here it says, having been gifts differing according to the grace given to us. So there is something that God is doing, because why? You know, if we understand there's a grace given to all of us, then we have to understand that God places us in the body, as we're going to see some scripture here in the morning, which we already know, where it pleases Him. You know, we don't decide how we're going to be in the body. The liver doesn't decide where it's going to be, the kidneys, you know, or whatever part. We come out, we are, the body is what it is, you know, and it functions and it needs every part of it working together in unity and harmony, and the better it works, the healthier we are, and the better we feel. And that's the way the church is. The more every part is doing its part, the better the body feels. But if part of it isn't working well, part of it's suffering, spiritually here we're talking about, inside, spiritually, then it's going to affect other parts of the body. It's going to have an absolute effect. That's why today, if we can understand what's happened to the church and the scattering of the church, the body is hurting. That's why I've mentioned so many times, the body is sick today, and it hurts. It hurts. This is a time of lamentation, of mourning and woe because of what we've gone through. It's painful. It hurts like mad sometimes. All the more reason then to respond and yield to the things and opportunities God gives to us. But again, in the beginning of this sermon series, we talked about some of this. The primary gift, brother, first and foremost, we all have received from God. We have grace from God. We have the power of God's Spirit in all of us. God's Spirit is in every one of us that has received that impregnation of God's Spirit. We've been baptized. Others are still being drawn by His Holy Spirit and have tremendous opportunities as far as time goes on, depending on their decisions and choices. But as far as those who have the body, who are a part of the body of Christ spiritually, have been baptized, have the impregnation of God's Spirit, we've all received the gift, if you will, of God's Spirit. And because of that, there are things that God is doing with us and working in us. There are things to the grace of God that He's given to us because of what He's molding and fashioning within us. And it's not all the same. That's why sometimes we have to be careful of our judging and how we judge. So we judge the way God wants us to and not by how we think about certain things as far as human beings are concerned, because someone may be going through a certain thing that molds and fashions, prepares them, and there may be a thinking there that is unique to them as an individual, that we're not the same, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand how people think differently. Thank God they do. You know, thankfully we're not all exactly the same. What a boring, boring world. You know, if we only had one food to eat, if we only had one kind of drink, if there's everything was exactly the same, one kind of tree out there, one kind of flower, you know, one kind of everything. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, well, this is very specific. This is inspired preaching. That's why when it talks about apostles and prophets, that's why some have not understood that word there and how it's used. And that's why I like that 1974 letter on government that I gave out several years ago here, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, because it goes in and talks about this very thing, about what this word means. It means inspired preaching. And that most people, when they read that word, they think it just has to do with Old Testament prophets. That's not what it's all about. It may have to do with something with prophecy, but as a whole, it's talking about something that's inspired in the preaching. You know, not that all teaching and so forth coming through the ministry and so forth shouldn't be inspired, but there's something unique in the sense of what is given there that is different from God's Spirit leading and teaching and guiding and directing others and what is true and right. There's something that comes through that's filled with inspiration from God that God is giving, that God gives to the church. So whether prophecy, inspired preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, according to what God gives. In other words, recognizing that it comes from God, crying out to God, looking to God. So it's an admonition for individuals there, or a ministry. Now, here we begin to, this word can be used in different ways. It doesn't always just mean the ministry. It's a word that's used for serving. So right away, it begins to break away from something that is obvious to the church, that God has given within the church to lead, to guide, to direct, to teach the church, to help the church Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, because that's how God molds and fashions us, to recognizing now, let's look at the rest of the body. There's all kinds of service and jobs and responsibilities within the church. Different things to do. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministering. In other words, whether it be strictly for the purpose of a minister, or whether it be even things of service in the church, whatever responsibilities, whatever opportunity, whatever we can do in that area of life. And sometimes we sell those things short. And how important they are. A particular email this last week that really helped me through the whole week. I thought about it several times. But that was very, very generous what this individual had to say. It encouraged me tremendously. I haven't thanked them yet, but I'm going to. You know, because I recognize something. I believe that it came from God's Spirit. That individual had the opportunity to give something, and it came from God's Spirit, and it's been an encouragement to me all week long. You know, I need that. We all need things from one another. You know, help, encouragement at different times, different things in our lives. We can't sell something short in our life. We can't think something isn't important, because they are. You know, every bit of blood that circulates through the body, every cell, everything that's there, everything that works together is important to the body. It needs it, and it works together. And the more it does, the more it gives, the more benefit there is received. Or he that teaches on teaching, so if it's a matter of teaching, and this again isn't just in the ministry, there are times that where families have opportunities, obviously, to teach. We're able to teach sometimes, and we have to be careful that we're not just trying to do it our way, but that we're looking to God to guide and direct us in leading and teaching and helping to teach even our children. Or when opportunity arises, that if it be a matter of something, of someone coming along or someone that doesn't understand something, that we're careful. You realize that whenever in the body, it's something, that's why I love that verse we read a moment ago where it says to be sober about how we do these things, sober-minded. And it talked about not looking at self or thinking of self too highly, because that has been one of the primary stumbling blocks in the church of God. When the focus turns from what we're supposed to be accomplishing to us and our importance and what we have to give and how we see something, then God's Spirit begins to cut off. And that's not what it's all about. That's why we should be sober by certain things with any relationship within the body. That's why so often, brethren, that I think of counseling or whatever it might be, it has been a practice. Just to share with you something of something that we should strive to accomplish and do that God has taught and given that I'm very, very thankful for, brother, because it's a matter of recognizing that I don't have the answers. That if you rely upon yourself, because we can learn, God has molded and fashioned us to see different things out there, and sometimes when I've seen where individuals have given what their opinion is, it doesn't mean anything. But if you ask God right then and there, rather than before you, if you're thinking this way and you're trained in this way, and before you give out an answer, you pray silently to God, Father, I don't know what to give, but you do. You know what needs to be said. Every one of us in the body of Christ, in anything we say to anyone else in the body of Christ, can always ask God for help to benefit that relationship, for help to be able to say the right things, to do the right things. And if you're looking to God for help, you know what? God gives help. If you think that way, if you do things that way, the more you do it, the more God will be there. The more God will bless an individual in those instances. That's why I love the scriptures when it talks about don't worry if you're taken before leaders or rulers or anybody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are in the world. And that's something we should use all the time in our life. You don't have to think out ahead of time every little word and how you're going to say it. Sometimes it's wise to think through situations, obviously. But when it comes right down to it, you look to God. They give you the right words to speak that will help someone else. Now, we don't always do that. I don't always do that. And when I don't, I sit back and I know it. And I have to repent of that. Because it's something we should strive for, to think that right way toward one another in order to help one another. So we can't sell that short. And it's a powerful service within the body that each part does. Each part of the body has work to do. Each part of the body has service to do. And sometimes we sell ourselves short in those things. Verse 8, or he that exhorts, you know, to encourage, to inspire, the word that it means to lift up others, there are times for that. And sometimes we may not even know. You know, how often And I've heard this over and over again. I've heard people respond and say, you know, that individual came to me at the exact time I needed it. I received a particular card, or I received a phone call, or I received this, and they said the things that I needed at that time. How many times has that happened to you? And so if we're not careful, we can sell that short and think, well, that wasn't anything. Yes, it is. And it's ongoing. It's ongoing within the body. It's not a one-time event. It's just ongoing in the body. And as every part of the body helps each part of the body and serves each part of the body and asks God for inspiration, for guidance and direction, or prayers each day, and we ask for help, how can I better serve the body? You know, when something comes into your mind of something you might be able to do, don't discard it. Recognize that sometimes when things come into the mind, it's for a purpose, because that's how God communicates with us. You realize that? And if you're praying for God's help to keep Satan away and demons away and the wrong things out of your mind from coming into your mind, and sometimes when something is right and good, and you know this would be a right and a good thing to do, then follow up on it. Then the choice is ours. If we're looking to God for help, then the choice is ours as to whether or not we're going to follow through and do it. Very powerful, brethren. Very powerful indeed. In benefiting the body, one another. So again, well, he that exhorts, in other words, encourages, inspires, lifts up others. So there are things that sometimes that God may pour out that gift. It is a gift. And if we recognize what is the focal point of that, it's God's Spirit, which is the gift of God's Spirit that's been given to all of us, then God's Spirit is desirous of working in our lives. God's Spirit has a desire. Wherever God sends out His Spirit, the desire is that it produce something. And so if we're really asking for help for being able to produce things, there may be time where we may experience even different gifts in that respect, different things within that broad range of a word there, if you will, of gifts, of opportunities because of how God's Spirit works. There may be a time where we can do something and time pass where we're not able to do it again for a long time. We're not able to be a part in helping in someone's life or sharing someone's life. It doesn't mean that one individual is going around doing this all the time. Some individuals may have more of a proclivity in a certain way, and God may use certain individuals in a certain proclivity or a certain way more than others for whatever purpose, for whatever reason, to encourage or to inspire or to lift up others. For he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, it says here. The word just means liberally. In other words, if it's a matter of giving, if God has given a person the ability to give, there are many different ways of things that come in our lives of doing that, sometimes it is literally physical. Of the generosity that people have, because they've been given an ability for the purpose of being able to have a certain generosity to do something. I think of people... In certain situations, I think of excess second tithe and individuals who have certain blessings in certain aspects of life because of something God's molding and fashioning them in a certain part of life, and there's a generosity there, and I think, what an incredible thing, because it helps so many other in the body to receive help at that time of year when it's needed, you know? And that can be multiplied in many different ways then in people's lives if God gives it. And so if we recognize that we have different things within the body, and brother, this is so important to understand. We're to learn from each other, regardless of what we have been given within the body to do. You realize that? We're to experience every facet of human life. We're to have every kind of background, every kind of situation, every kind of ongoing thing that's in this world happening around our lives or with our lives so that we can benefit from one another and learn from one another and how God's Spirit is working in one another. And we can grow in those things because of what each other experiences. I'll tell you, this is something we really rob ourselves. Many years ago, in the very beginning, working with some things in spokesman's clubs and seeing individuals work in certain areas of spokesman's club and so often people not recognizing the value that's at work in their life in things that they could share and give to others because they thought others had that ability or had something and they didn't realize what they had because of the gift of God's Spirit in them. And it's something that people have to grow in as God works with us. I need to get going or we'll never get through this. There's so much said here. Give liberally. He that rules, in other words, to set over something, to guard, to protect, is how this word is used, to care for, with diligence. In other words, if we have an opportunity to care for someone and a certain kind of care is being given in a certain situation and circumstance, you know, today being scattered, there are unique situations out here because of what we're going through. And maybe to guard or protect, you know a situation, you know of maybe a friendship or whatever it might be, and you know someone else is supplying information or trying to get in toward them, or you see there's Satan or demons or working in a certain way through someone to try, and you can be there to maybe, sometimes there are situations happen where a person can be a part of this in the sense of there you are in the body, what are you going to do now? If you see a brother that's being hurt, especially today, by some false thing coming along, how do we deal with that? Do we maybe go to the individual and talk to them about it? Do we try to protect an individual if we have the ability in a particular circumstance to protect them from something? And you have to think through these things, brother, because there are all kinds of situations and circumstances being spoken of here. And so God says when we have those responsibilities as a part of a job, as a part of a work, as part of living by faith, because there are things that happen in our lives, and God wants to know, what are we going to do when it comes our way? And in some cases, there are just certain places within the body that's even done more. So God says, do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness, you know, is that something that only happens to one individual in the body, the ability to show mercy? Or is there something that happens sometimes in a fellowship and a relationship where it's needful that an individual show mercy? Or is this just talking about specific individuals that only have the ability of showing mercy? Or is this a part of something of God's Spirit because it's working within us, the gift of God's Spirit that we have, that He already has made available to us? And so many of these things we're talking about. We should all, from time to time, be able to have this part of exhortation in our life, the ability to encourage or to lift up someone else, you know, and the ability to serve someone else. There are going to be those opportunities. Not all the time, but certain times it's going to be more than others. Certain times that we may have something to share in our lives or to give, whatever it might be. And that doesn't mean just physically, brother. Those things are spiritual in nature as well. He that is there to guard or protect or to care for a certain situation, do we have those opportunities all the time? No. But sometimes it pops up. What do we do? Well, we're tested in that. Are we going to use God's Spirit? Do we cry out to God's Spirit for help so that we can help the body and serve the body? Or do we get caught up in our own lives and we're kind of busy and I don't have time for that and I don't have time for them and I get wrapped up in my own life and you know, sometimes we just have opportunity and it's knocking at the door and it's up to us. What are we going to do? Sometimes it's right there in front of us. And God wants to know what we're going to do. God's Spirit desires to produce fruit. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. When do those occasions arise? That's next I want to look at. Mercy. When is mercy needed? Mercy is generally needed when maybe someone maybe isn't really too deserving of it. Maybe they've done something. Maybe they said something that they shouldn't have done or shouldn't have said. Or maybe they've gone out and done something in the past. Or maybe it just happened an hour ago or a week ago or a month ago. And you don't even know how they've responded to God in the situation. But I've seen this so many times, but I see people bounce back and they keep coming back and they keep coming back. And you know certain things maybe happen in their life. And they keep coming, and that's the fight and that's the battle. And an opportunity to extend mercy, God's mercy and God's love. See? Not to be harsh in judgment, because sometimes what we do is we're just harsh in judgment. And that happens a lot in the church. So this is just the opposite of being harsh in judgment, you know, to someone else in the church. How many people are unforgiving and won't forgive someone and want to remind someone over and over again of certain things in their life? That's not of God. That's not of God's Spirit. And so this here is showing just the opposite. There are times, brethren, to extend mercy. How does it say it here? Again here. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness, because it's the right thing to do. Not begrudgingly, you know, I've got to be merciful because God says to that I really can't stand how they act and what they've done and you know, what they are, and just totally unforgiving, you know, whatever it might be. And so when it's done with God's Spirit, mercy is shown, it's given and extended to someone, and people know it. I know when mercy has been given to me. I know when people have been merciful to me. And you should know when people have been merciful to you. Because when it's done right, it's done with cheerfulness. It's done in the right spirit and the right attitude because it comes from God. Let love be without dissimulation. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about God's love, His love at work in us and through us to the benefit of others in the body, to benefit the body. Let love be without dissimulation. That means without showiness or pretense. You know, this is one thing that I have to watch myself on when I receive it from someone and I don't believe it's genuine, because it just rubs me the wrong way. If it's done in pretense, you know, because perhaps I'm a minister or whatever, and someone's nice to me for those reasons, not because I'm a part of the body of Christ, not because I'm a member of the body of Christ, but for the wrong reasons, say, and will show a favor or a favoritism or whatever it might be, a showiness or a pretense that's not genuine. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. We've seen it in the church, because most of those situations in the church are being worked with, are being rooted out of the church, are being made manifest, and sad. It's a horrible thing. So it says, love be without showiness or pretense, because God's love isn't. It's not with showiness and pretense. It's genuine. It's sincere. It's honest. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's what we started a while ago. We're coming back to that now. In honor, preferring one another, we should desire one another in the body above all others. Have a desire toward each other. Have a desire to see each other grow and mature. Have a desire for those who are going through difficult things right now within the body and coming to junctures or junctions in the road, if you will. Junction in the road where they have to make choices and decisions. What are they going to do? As I mentioned a moment ago about someone with Worldwide, I love them. I hope and pray that they will make a right choice. I hope and pray that they will finally come to that point where they see, because they're at that point of making those choices, because the God has brought them to that point. Now they have to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to break away from that kind of thing and recognize that any relationship with it is hurting the body, is fighting against God? And that's something people have to choose and decide. Not rely upon self, but rely upon God. And I say that out of love, not to hurt them, because they'll probably hear this tape. Not slothful in business. That word means diligence. Not slothful in diligence. When God tells us to be diligent about something, as he did earlier here, you know, we need to be diligent. You know, diligent in doing our part. Not turning away from an opportunity that's before us, where God's Spirit can work and work through us to benefit someone else, to serve someone else, because it requires sacrifice. On the contrary, we better do it if it comes knocking on our door. And sometimes it just comes knocking on our door. Fervent in spirit. That's what God wants to see. A desire to be fervent in spirit. Zealous. Desire to be on fire about God's way of life. And an opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ. An opportunity to have fellowship with each other. To have the kind of relationships we have with each other. Because the only way we're brought together in the church is because God has brought us together. Otherwise, we wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't have friendships with one another. But it's God's Spirit that gives us what we have. Far above any human physical relationships. Well, you know, incredible how farther it is. You know, even family, even people who've been in the church together as family, when different ones have left, they don't have the same relationship anymore, because it's with God first and foremost that really gives what is true and what we all desire in the purest of relationships. And so it has to come from God's Spirit and from God. Not slothful in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's the attitude of mind. It's a matter of serving God. Especially if we understand serving the body, sacrificing for the body, for one another, for doing something that might be inconvenient for ourselves, that it's a matter of the body. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's a tough one. You going through something hard? You know, we go through difficult things. We've all gone through difficult things. But sometimes we have to understand all things work together for good. God can use difficult things to help others grow by my experience, by your experience, by things you have gone through in your life. And helps other parts of the body mature and grow. Because they see that suffering. They are going before God and drawing closer to God and crying out for help and intervention. They themselves are learning certain things sometimes through the process of what they see and what they're learning. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. And so whether someone else is going through it or whether we ourselves are going through it, and especially because of what we're going through now, we have to be patient in tribulation, recognizing that it's a matter of the body. That's the primary reason right now. Of time going on as it is, it's for the body, sake of the body, until it's all done. Continuing instant, or being consistent in prayer, continually crying out to God, looking to God. God is the focal point. Distributing. Here's that word again. Fellowship, communion, a sharing together with others. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Do we recognize there's an ability, this thing about fellowship, this thing about sharing together with others, to whatever their necessity is, the necessity of the saints? What are the necessities of the saints? What are some of these necessities that people might have in their life? What is something that each one of us, different times, may be able to give? It may be something as simple as sending something that is an encouragement or a phone call or a word spoken or just the fact that we're there, especially in things today the way they are. Sharing together, distributing, sharing together the necessity of the saints. It's what we all do because we're all part of a body. And if you can see our own physical body, you realize how much you need every part of that body to be doing its job, to be doing its function to the necessity of other parts of the body. It all works together. Given to hospitality. Again, that compound word. I love this. To be friendly with someone, to associate familiarly with others. And then the other part of that word, compound word, strangers. That's how you draw closer together. Because people we're not as close to, and sometimes that's the easiest thing to do, someone we don't know as well, we don't work to get to know them better or draw closer to them or serve them or whatever it is that we might be able to do. And yet that's the very thing God wants us to do, given to hospitality, given to a desire that we ourselves don't want to have this thing of strangers there. On the contrary, we want to change that and turn that around so that we have an atmosphere that we have this friendship, this friendliness with one another, just like Jesus Christ said, you know. When he came to the point, he says, I call you friends. Because there's a relationship there that God desires. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You know, sometimes that's tough to do in the body, in recognizing and how we respond. Because sometimes it has to do with close relationships, sometimes it has to do with close relationships within the body, within the church, and things that have happened, and people can say things and do things. And so there's a way where sometimes we're tried and tested how we're going to respond. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be times that obviously that we don't respond with having to address certain things or having to address certain things with them, because we may have to, but we have to be careful how we do it. Not with bitterness, not with cursing, not with a wrong attitude and a wrong mind, but on the contrary, asking for God's help to have a right mind towards someone else, even in the worst of circumstances. With the hope, and all hope always is, just like Paul talked about, even when some were cut off in the body, was for the hope. He said, as he said, he gave them over to Satan. But it wasn't a matter of hatred toward them or bitterness or cursing them. On the contrary, it was with the hope and the desire that they repent so they can see, you know, what they have missed and what they don't have any longer, with the desire to come back and be a part. Verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's a relationship we have within the body. You know, we should be happy and thankful for those in the body when they have something to rejoice about. We should share in that. And we should also share when parts of the body have been hurt and are in pain. So we should share in both. But this hasn't always been the case either. And it isn't always the case in our life. Sometimes people rejoice and have rejoiced over certain blessings or certain things in their life, and others become jealous or envious or whatever it might be, and attitudes because of something that's happened, instead of sharing together in it and being thankful for the blessings of the body because it benefits the entire body. You know, what a paradox, what a horrible thing to think how human and how selfish we are sometimes. And sometimes people don't weep with those that weep, haven't wept with those that wept, because, you know, different attitudes of judgment may be towards others. Well, they deserve that, you know. You know, maybe they'll change now, maybe they'll do this or that, rather than weeping for them, you know, as well. Be of the same mind, one toward another. You know, be of the same mind, one toward another. There's a lot said there. The attitude of compassion, the attitude of mercy, the attitude of recognizing that we are one, and a care and a concern. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. Again, notice that brings this full circle again. Not to think highly of ourselves. Mind not high things. You know, don't be too high, too lifted up, to not be a part of the body, to not serve, to not let God's Spirit work through us to benefit others with whatever it might be. But condescend. This word simply means submit, yield. I don't like the word condescend here because it sounds like we're still haughty and we're still better in our judgment toward someone else's suffering, whatever it might be that they're going through, or we see ourselves in a certain way and won't serve, say, and won't give as we should when we have opportunity. On the contrary, it says here that submit or yield to, and this word men is not even in the Greek here, but it just means to submit or yield to the lowest state. In other words, to humility. Yield yourself to humility. Submit to low degree. I love this word because it literally means, this word here, lowest state, literally means not rising far from the ground. Isn't that amazing? It's a word that means not rising far from the ground. You know, when you're close to the ground, you know that's where you came from, that's what you're going back to, and you see yourself that way, you don't get a big head about it. And so I love this. Not rising far from the ground. Humility. Matter of fact, I think the word humility, isn't that word part of the word for humus? Earth. Earthy, of the earth. We recognize what we are and where we're from. What an incredible word to understand here. That's what God wants us to recognize. We have nothing to be haughty about and lifted up above others. On the contrary, in the body, we all need each other. We understand that and we're grateful for that. Be not wise in your own conceits, own opinions. How many times, brethren, over and over and over and over again, those few words there, especially after over the past many years here, things that have happened, how often someone should just have that placard written around their neck, carrying it, be not wise in your own opinions. Look at it constantly, because that's the very thing that happens to people when they get lifted up and become high and haughty instead of close to the ground, instead of understanding and get lifted up with pride, that this is what conquers an individual. We become lifted up with our own importance, our own opinions of how I see things. See, that's where we have to cry out to God again. God, how do you see things, and what's best for the body? What's best for the body? What does the body need? What does this person need? Because I don't know. When is the timing? When should I say this? When should I not say it? Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and all this should help us to more fully be sobered, or be more fully sobered, if you will, by our ability to more fully grasp the importance of the context of the kind of scriptures that we're now going to be focusing upon, because everything we've set before here has really kind of been a groundwork to lead us to this point where we're going into these verses now, because this is so important. All of what we've talked about, fellowship, and this maturing fellowship that we're to have in the body of Christ, it all leads us to this point here of understanding something that is so profound in the church. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Or go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very powerful verses here. Because there is a unique fellowship and a unique relationship that God desires to have with each and every one of us that is so powerful, that is so humbling in that respect. It is so humbling, frankly, if we really understand God and understand the calling we have, to understand that we're able to have a fellowship with one another within the body. That we have one another within the body. And to appreciate the fact that people pray about one another and people pray for each other and have a desire toward each other. Even though some things, because of human weaknesses sometimes, we still don't share all those things sometimes. But in little ways here and there, we grow and we mature. We draw closer and closer together and appreciate each other more and more as time goes along. It's a growing process as God is drawing us closer together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? Now, I hate the way the world has misused this word, but brethren, it's a very powerful thing. To commune with one another, to commune with God, there is an ability to have a communication, a relationship, a fellowship. That's what the word means here, that same word we've been looking at over and over again throughout this sermon series. A fellowship, a sharing together with others that we're able to have. And so this is talking about leading us up to Passover and understanding Passover and understanding the importance of what God wants us to grasp about the body of Christ, the church of God, and the unique fellowship that we're able to share in, a sharing together that we have. That's why I love the word that Mr. Armstrong used to use so often about being co-workers. Working together. Co-workers together. Because we all have work to do. And that's about that's what God talks about the gift of His Holy Spirit that's stirred up within us, that we're able to serve within the body, to help and serve within the body and serve one another. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the sharing together of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion? Same word. Sharing together, a fellowship in, of the body of Christ. For we, being many, are one bread. There's no such thing as being able to divorce ourselves from a part of the body, or separate ourselves from a part of the body. Either we're a part of the entire body, or we're not. There's not some part of the body here, another part of the body over there, and especially today because of the confusion of different organizations. God's body is wherever it is, and we don't know where it all is today, and that's what's painful, that's what hurts. Sometimes it's difficult because we don't know in all situations. And because of what we're still being molded and fashioned into and being brought back into a relationship with God, being saved out of some of the things that are around us, being brought out of some of the things that are around us yet that are still tearing down the body. Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers. This is where the word communion here and so many of the words for fellowship comes from. This is the base word that literally means to share or to partake or fellowship. This is the root, the base. For we are all partakers, share in that one bread. What an incredible thing. It starts with Jesus Christ, the Passover, and why He died, that we're able to have the church and all the things that come as a result of that then, that through time. That's the purpose of a relationship that God has brought us into, and why Jesus Christ suffered, so we can become a part of that, so we can be a part of that and share in. Even the sufferings, as it says about Christ, everything we share in. Now the context continues in chapter 11. Let's go on because it leads up more and more to the Passover, talks about it more fully, like verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. So there's that memorial we keep year after year, being reminded of why, how we're able to be a part of the church, to understand our Passover, why He died, the suffering He went through, to be reminded of all those things and to learn from that ourselves. Going on down to verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, or in an unworthy manner, as the word means here, eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And yes, this is physical and spiritual. Some want this only to be physical. If it's left at being only physical, then we don't understand the church of God. We don't understand this fellowship that God wants us to understand. The communion that we're able to have, this fellowship, the sharing together that we're able to have, that God wants us to learn from. It begins with the Passover. It begins with the blood of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the suffering of Jesus Christ, all those things, but to understand why He did it. Yes, so that we can be forgiven of our sins, but it doesn't stop there, does it? It's so that we can have this relationship with the body of Christ, with God the Father, Jesus Christ. It's so that we can have a fellowship with God. That's the purpose Jesus Christ died, so we can have a relationship with God. Otherwise, we'd never be able to have a relationship with God. That's what we're reminded of, the Passover, year after year after year. How often? The most beautiful chapter in the Bible to me, John 14, that talks about how Jesus Christ did and accomplished the things He did. He said, because the Father that dwelt in me did them. He said it wasn't Him. And He said, He went on to show a marvelous thing then for mankind, for the church, that same thing can now dwell in you. And then He broadens it and shows now Jesus Christ and the Father can dwell in human beings, and God and human beings in them, in the body. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the church of God. Incredible. A fellowship, a sharing together that God desires with us. So again, beautiful verses here, what it's talking about. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, physical and spiritual, because one leads to the other. It's like I've tried to show so many times about healing, that the physical things about healing lead us to understanding the spiritual things that God wants us to grasp and understand. Well, and some people just get stopped up and stop it with physical. They don't understand where it leads, what we're taught. It's like things in the Old Testament. They're all there to lead us to something, to understand what is spiritual, what God has for us. Just like the Leviticus 16, atonement, the goats, the two goats, you know. And so many of the things we see through the Old Testament, you know, just like it uses examples here about bread and unleavened bread and different things we learn through the holy days and so forth. The law, which Jesus Christ came along and magnified and showed that they were spiritual. It's a matter of spirit. All the holy days and what they picture and the kingdom of God that's coming. All the things that are there, brethren, that things are far more than just a physical life and what we learn in it from the physical. And sometimes people say, well, you're just trying to spiritualize things away. You know, there are people who've done that. Worldwide has tried to do that. When you see people going the way this Protestant world does, that's what spiritualizing away something is. Don't confuse that with understanding things that are physical that teach us those things that are spiritual. Just like the sacrificial system. It's to teach us that which is spiritual. Just like the physical lamb in the Old Testament. And it's being killed, you know, and being eaten. Is to teach us something about that which is spiritual, that the lamb was killed so that we can eat, and we're partake of that lamb, that life, to eat of the bread of life, day by day by day, all of our life, you know, to teach us those things that are spiritual. Going on in verse 30 here, it says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This is more spiritual than there are things certainly that can happen physically because of not having a right relationship with God, but this is something spiritual, brethren, in nature. For this cause. What cause? Because individuals have not recognized the body of Christ. They have not recognized their part. They have not recognized the things that Jesus Christ went through and why He went through them, so that we're able to have what we have here, a fellowship. A fellowship, first of all, with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and a fellowship, a communion, if you will, an ability to commune with others, with one another within the body of Christ, that relationship that we're to have. And those who don't recognize the body, don't recognize the church and one another within the church, if we don't appreciate, understand one another, that's why we go to washing one another's feet. It's to show the humility that we're to have. For we're saying to God, we would do that to anyone that is His. We would do that for anyone that's in the body of Christ and desire to do that in a right spirit, in a right mind, no attitude, no bad feelings toward them, you know, nothing harboring, nothing kept against them, nothing judged about them. That's what we're telling God. Sometimes we haven't done a real good job of those things, but that's what we're telling God at that time. And that's why, because some haven't understood these things, this relationship, this unique relationship we have within the body, some have taken the Passover in the wrong way. Because they haven't had that attitude toward others in the body. They haven't had a desire in that attitude toward others in the body to want to think right toward the body, the church, the God of God, and all the suffering Jesus Christ went through for us in order to give us this relationship, this opportunity with one another, and the church that helps to strengthen one another. So it says, for this cause many are weak and sickly. That's why the church is very weak and very sickly today, spiritually. And why many sleep. That's why people fall asleep. They get sleepy spiritually. They fall asleep. They can't stay strong and alert anymore because there's an misunderstanding. That's why it talks about back in Matthew 24, the love of me, agape, what's cold. And we don't live as we ought to live with God's Spirit living within us. And the weaker we become, then we begin to fall asleep spiritually. And we've all had to repent of that. And have to keep repenting of those things. Verse 31. For if we would judge or discern ourselves. Notice what we have to understand? Self. Ourselves. That's why we're always encouraged around Passover time to remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And going back there, let's just turn over there. Because we always, without exception, whenever we talk about these things, always go to these verses here. Because they tell us more of the story. Where it says back in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves. This means to take account of, you know, to put yourself to the test. Whether you be in the faith, whether God's working through us and God's Spirit is working with us and we have this fellowship in the body like we should have, and God's Spirit is working with us and we're living by the things we have been given to believe that God has opened our minds to, prove. This word literally means to examine or investigate your own selves. You know, we have to know whether or not we're in the body and how we're functioning within the body and that God's Spirit is working through us. It should be evident in our thinking, in our minds. We should know it. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? That's why He died, so He could be in us, and so we could be in Him, and have that unique fellowship and relationship within the church. That's what so much of Passover and taking that ceremony is all about. This relationship and fellowship that we're able to have. That word that's used as communion in so many places. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be, the word is reprobate here, but it means not approved or unapproved. We want to be approved by God because of God's Spirit. That God is the one that approves us. It's His Spirit that approves us. And so we have to recognize, we should be able to see in our lives and know that God's Spirit is there. You know, the very fact, if you're able to hold on to, know, let's put it this way, know and hold on to 21 truths is a very powerful testament and witness in itself that God's Spirit is in you and working in you. And the clearer those things become and the more you grow in those things and understanding of them, the stronger and the better that relationship is. Truly is. And should be something that it gives you encouragement and gratitude on your part to realize this is of God. Because you can't do it. You can't hold on to those things even though you were given them. You can't maintain them and keep them and understand them and continue to grow in them unless God's in the picture. And so we have to know that the ability and the fact that those things are there is because of Jesus Christ is there. That Jesus Christ is in us. And then it goes on to other things in our lives as well, obviously, how we live and so forth. That's what this is talking about. So very powerful, this thing about fellowship and maturing fellowship and how we should desire to grow and become stronger and stronger. For if we would again judge or discern ourselves, we should not be judged. Then it continues on. Let's continue on to chapter 12. Let's speed along a little bit here, I guess. But because notice the story flow. It just keeps going here. It started in chapter 10, started talking about these things, about this cup, that we're able to have this the blessing which we bless, talking about the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, and went into, and Paul talks about taking the Passover. And then he continues on in chapter 12 here. It says, "Now discerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts in the broad range of the gift of God's Spirit, because this is still, again, how it's all accomplished. If you can simplify it and understand that respect, the gift of God's Spirit, when God's Spirit goes out, it produces things in our life. And it's manifest in different things that are accomplished. And this is referred to in this context as a matter of gifts, because something was going to happen, something is going to come out to reflect God's Spirit at work within us. Now, there are diversities of gifts, and sometimes there are just at different times in our lives. We don't experience the same thing all the time, because it depends on the condition and the situation and what is needed. But God will give His Spirit. But the same Spirit, see? It's the same Spirit that accomplishes it all, that performs it all, that works with it all. But there are differences of administration. This word means services, service within the church. There are different times that different opportunities arise, different responsibility, if you will, that we have, that we can do. And all we have to do is just, you know, it'll come knocking on our door sometimes. And sometimes we can, you know, just like this back here at the back, an opportunity. You know, because this aids fellowship. Talking about the food back there on the table. You know, some areas have stronger strength in those things by nature and have grown on those things and learned those things in the church. And I appreciate them deeply. You know what happens generally when there's more around? When there's that around, people stay around longer. You know? And that helps fellowship. That helps us to draw closer together and be encouraged by certain things. And sometimes by our conversation or we learn something that someone's going through, and it helps us in our prayers then for the body, because God wants us to learn. It's something we learn in. It's a part of the sharing process we go through. And those give added opportunity. And so you can't make those things, minimize them any more than you can minimize anything in your own body. If you minimize it and you don't think you need it, then the body's not as fulfilled. It's not as full spiritually, mentally, physically, in every other way. So it says here, it says that there are differences. There are going to be differences. Not everything's done the same way or at the same time. There are different needs and at different times. That's what Paul is explaining here. There are differences in service, but the same Lord. And there are differences, diversities of operations. This means the working or accomplishing of a matter. It's a simple way of saying there are different ways even of doing something. Two people may be going to do something and they can do it totally different. And sometimes this can drive us wild. It can drive me wild. It can drive everybody wild, because we have to learn from that and say, well, there are different ways of doing it, and I can learn from that way. And if we can think that way, that sometimes we can learn from one another, you know, and not think so highly of ourselves that we have the only way of doing it, you know. Unless God wants something done in a specific way or done in a specific time or a certain circumstance, that might be a different situation because of a learning thing for the body or the need for the body at a particular time, and that will be inspired by God's Spirit. But as a whole, a lot of times there are certain situations where it might be as simply, I've given this example so many times, going to a feast. You know, there are different times you can leave. There are different roads you can take. You may choose to stop somewhere halfway in between for whatever reason and stay a night and then go on. And someone else may criticize you. How many times have I heard people in the church criticize others in situations because they didn't think they should do it that way? I'm talking about just going to and from the feast. Laughable things when you think about it. You think, well, they shouldn't have done it that way, or they shouldn't do that because, well, I wouldn't do it that way. That's what it boils down to. You think, well, anyway. So that's what Paul is saying here. There are differences of operation. The word just means a way of working, a way of accomplishing a matter. There are different ways of doing it. If we can learn that thing, just that thing alone sometimes, and people doing things within the church, we can realize there are different ways of doing something and accomplishing something. Everything doesn't have to be exactly the same way, obviously. Sometimes some things need to be done a certain way. If it's a matter of government, that's a different matter, or a different matter of administering something because someone else, perhaps in charge of a certain thing, says to do something a certain way. That helps to dispel confusion. That's another matter. But we have to be careful then sometimes with how we look at a matter of someone who's made a choice or has a responsibility or does something themselves because it's serving or helping the body. To say, I do it a different way or whatever, well, that's fine. When you do it a different way and get it done. That's good. That's what God looks for, getting it done. So it benefits the body. Hope you understood all that. We're saying a lot in a very short time here. Verse 7. the rest of that verse, but it is the same God which works all in all. See, it's still God that does it. If we're looking to God to do it, and then it's going to be profitable. If God's not doing it, and human nature is doing it, we'll probably learn from it too, that it's going to flip-flop, it's not going to work, and we can learn from sometimes from the wrong ways too. We've seen those things in the body, and sometimes we learn from that. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's a powerful verse. The manifestation. See, it's a matter of God's Spirit being sent out, the gift, the things that are there through the power of God's Spirit to produce things in our life, and if we respond and we produce, then it's going to be made manifest, and there are things given and poured out upon us in order to accomplish, in order to give to the body, to help the body. Remember that scripture back there when we read in Ephesians. It just edifies itself in love. That's God's desire and purpose for growth. And manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And God desires that we profit from His Spirit working in us, and others profit from it as well. Not just for each one of us to be on the receiving side. Verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit of word, the wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. And that doesn't mean that there might be certain individuals that tend to, or because God is doing something with them for a particular purpose in the body, to work in a specific area, maybe along the lines of knowledge more, maybe along the lines of wisdom more. And sometimes individuals may experience knowledge at one time in a certain area that's able to benefit others, because these are all about things that can benefit someone else, not something we just receive that benefits us only or that lifts us up. On the contrary, all these gifts are the purpose for someone else benefiting by it. They're to work through us to benefit others. That's what this is all about. This is what, and you have to keep that in context and understand that. For to one, verse 8, is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. You know, more of a context here sometimes of a knowing. In other words, certain circumstances come up in life sometimes, and there's something that God inspires by His Spirit to know the end result, to know the outcome, to have a confidence in a certain matter that God is working for whatever reason. There are certain times that that's given, and some individuals may have that more for a particular thing that others can learn from in the body. Sometimes it's for others to share in from time to time in the body as well, because it's the same Spirit that God is doing and working within us. And it says here, by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. This one, I want to zero in on a little bit today, because just to show you, there has been an incredible amount of imbalance in this area within the church. Because some people look upon this as a matter of individuals who have the ability to heal others, and there isn't anyone like that in the church of God. There may be occasions where God, through the power of His Spirit, desires and performs and accomplishes healings through an individual in that respect, and others receive the benefit of physical healing, you see, for a purpose that God has, even in the world around us. We haven't seen that in the church in this age. As a matter of fact, about the only time you can see someone maybe outside the church receiving benefit of some of that kind of thing as a whole is by going back and reading Mr. Armstrong's autobiography. My wife and I were just talking about the example the other day. Remember the example of the individual he's talking to, and they were, you know, he was working, his desire was to work with them to bring them into the knowledge of the truth, and he would talk about a certain matter that they were healed, an individual was healed of through the process, and they went right back just like Pharaoh did, and he wouldn't be healed of the rest. Some of you know the story in the autobiography. If you want to go back and find it, you can find it. You know, that's an example of something apart. You don't see individuals, you don't see ministers going to, elders going to hospitals, anointing people, because it's not God's purpose right now. God's not inspiring that. That is not working out. You don't see people walking along and a shadow is cast, like Peter did, and people passing by and people being healed because of Peter's shadow. See? And Peter didn't have the power to heal. Please understand, God did the healing. But he did it for a purpose. It was a matter more of a gift of power to accomplish miracles, if you will, to accomplish something for a purpose. And frankly, in this case, it was for the furtherance of the beginning of, if you will, especially the beginning of the church, the gospel, you know, the good news, the church, the beginning of it. Brethren, something that we have missed a great deal of and understanding here, yes, there are situations in prayer and so forth. You know, frankly, especially in the environment of the church, you know, you realize within the environment of the church, it's a benefit, it's a blessing, it's a gift that God gives. Yet some people have thought that if they weren't healed, they didn't have enough faith. There have been situations where people felt like if they weren't healed in certain matters, that they didn't have enough faith. And they have misconstrued. I'm going to have to give a sermon on this later in the future here, but because I keep coming back to this. And I guess it's really a matter of whether God inspires it or not, but it looks like it's coming in time here. Maybe it's going to be given just a little bit of time here and there along the way. But there are situations where the fact that you have received healing is the gift. not the individual who has the gift of healing. It's not for the purpose of... Please understand something here. These scriptures do not talk really in that vein. And the Greek language does not talk in the vein that the individual has the ability, or it's given to them, the ability to heal someone else. They may be used as instruments and so forth, because all the elders in the church, when you have done your part, do you realize when you have done your part, you have gone to God, you do what God says. You go to the elders of the church. I've known of people in the church who thought they had the ability to heal others who weren't even ordained. And God says you're to go to the elders in the church to have hands laid upon you and to be anointed with oil, in essence, you know, when you're sick. And yet there are people who thought they've had the ability to lay hands upon others and have done it. And that is so wrong. It is like individuals who take a hold of the ark in the Old Testament who were never given the responsibility to carry it. Say, to do something like that is a dangerous thing before God, to take upon themselves that prerogative to act in the responsibility of what God gave to the ministry. And God gives that. You know why God gives that? Why he said go to the elders? Because he wants you to be directed to how God works. You can understand there is a way that God works. And if we're going to obey God, when we're sick, we're going to go to the elders because we realize that there is a function of organization within the body of Christ. There is a way that God works with us within the church, within the body of Christ. And it's just a simple matter that God says, this is where you go and this is how you do it. It's as much as a physical thing on that plane of a physical thing is, as the Old Testament, that you just didn't go out and offer up your own sacrifices. You took them to the temple and you went to the Levite and you did it the way God said to do it. See? There's a way that God says to do things. And so it shows our obedience and our submission to God in doing something the right way. So again here, so much of what we've missed in the church sometimes has been the fact that there are gifts. You know why it refers to it as gifts in this case? Whether it be of service, of wisdom, of knowledge, they're always, all of them are all there to benefit others. That's the context. It's not just something, these things here are not spoken of in the context that it just benefits us. How many times, brother, and sometimes the fact that someone isn't, sometimes there is a suffering that people go through and a time that God allows individuals to go through things. You know why? It's not because of a lack of faith. Sometimes it's because of a strength of faith, brother. And sometimes it's a strength of relationship they have with God that they're able to go through and endure certain things for the body of Christ. I've known how many times and how many people sell themselves short when they've gone through different difficult things health-wise. But God's answer isn't always the same thing in all trials and troubles. But so often we think of them physically, especially when it comes to something that happens to us physically and when it comes to healing. Some things are there, brethren, that we're healed that gives encouragement to others. I have known of people, brother. I knew of a family. I'll give you an example one time. When they first started coming along and they started asking me for praying for their children, I saw something incredible take place and I realized God was working in it all along. I knew He was all along the way. That instantaneously, they'd call. Instantaneously, they let me know. They were healed immediately. And then a few years would pass and as time went along, there were certain situations where they weren't healed as quickly. Brother, there was a process. I saw a family go through, and then when it was more needed because it was more serious, again, God was there just like that. But there are things, there was a process of growth that family was coming through to recognize there are things you do. There's a process you go through of growth in a relationship with God. And God takes us through different things, and I saw how I learned through the process, and I saw others in the church learn through the process. I've seen different things in the church where individuals, because of healing, how often, when you see something, especially the more serious it is, that someone is healed quickly? I've had people come back and tell me, within, just like it says in the Bible, when it talks about certain situations, when you've seen that God has intervened quickly, within the hour, individuals healed. You have no doubt. And then there may be certain situations where it might for a long time. It might not be when they called. It might be when they received the call. And for some situations, it may never be. And all can be profitable to benefit the body. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Because someone is healed quickly, sometimes that gives us encouragement. We see God in the picture more quickly, and that encourages us and lifts us up. And we need that encouragement from time to time. Sometimes people go through a little more suffering for a period of time, and that gives us opportunity to pray about and be involved in a prayer about certain situations. And we realize, you know, and so that helps the body in that certain situation to be encouraged as well, to learn mercy, to learn compassion. And there are some situations where people continue to have a bad health situation, even to the point of death. Does that mean their faith was less than maybe another time when they were healed instantaneously? On the contrary, sometimes the more that some have suffered, if it benefits the body, it's for a purpose too. You realize that everyone in the Bible throughout time, and this is something that's so hard for people to grasp, have become sick and finally died? Those who are all dead in Christ? The answer is sometimes no, but sometimes through that process we learn and we grow. It's an incredibly marvelous thing that God works. And if God's Spirit is working there, you can learn from other people's suffering. You realize that? You can grow as a result of someone else suffering. Now, if you're on the other end of that, how much are you willing to suffer to benefit the body? That's a tough one. Because we want God to intervene quickly, and we sometimes begin to doubt about ourselves. We begin to think that something's wrong with me. And that is not always the case, because maybe God has a different purpose for you at that time to learn something different so that others can learn something different from you as well or through you. Do we understand that about how God works? All things work together for good to those who are called of God. How does it say that? I want to read the whole thing there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I want to add that in there. To them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. What an incredible confidence to have in that, brother, that verse, over and over and over again. Even when you suffer, that not only can you benefit from that sometimes, and sometimes it's the enduring, and sometimes it's going through it, and sometimes even what we're going through today, brother, and if we could understand it just like physical healing and something we're suffering through, God has not taken away this tribulation upon the church. It is continuing on. Because it's something that God is working out in the church for the benefit of the church. And sometimes that happens in individuals' physical lives where others in the church can learn from their life as well. See? Sometimes people don't understand that, or they forget that. That the other parts of the church can benefit from someone having suffered. See? I think of Billy Holmes. How many of you prayed about what he's gone through? You know, what an incredible thing. To come to the edge of death like he did and go through that process with his body, with his life, and the suffering and life. But how many in the church benefited, were made stronger as a result of, well, what he went through? I feel that I was. Were you? When someone suffers in the church, but I think of individuals who sometimes have suffered greatly, and sometimes not only does the individual learn through their suffering, which I have learned through my sufferings, all my sufferings, brother, I can go back and look at, as a whole, the greater they were, the more intense they were, the more I learned from them. And without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. How many others in the church benefited from some of those things? From mine, or from yours? See, sometimes we forget Romans 8:28, or we don't see it in the scheme of things. What a beautiful thing, brother, to understand these things. I wish I hadn't. Well, I guess it was a need to go into that, but I have so much more here. There's so much more to talk about. And it's for a little time to do it. So again here, when it talks about to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, sometimes it's what we receive, and sometimes we don't receive it. So how much we don't receive it, are we willing to give to the body if it's benefiting the body? How much are we willing to suffer if there's a purpose behind it, if there's a reason why God is saying no at that time? Because there's something that others can learn in the body. How could we learn from each other in the body if we didn't have the sufferings within the body? That's why they're there. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles. And this word means, it's literally translated to another, workings of powers. You know, sometimes there's a need for certain powers of God's Spirit to accomplish various things, like I mentioned about Peter. That was not a matter of healing as it was about the power of God, what God was revealing and showing something. I think about the two witnesses toward the end, the power that's going to be there to accomplish, because there's a time and a purpose for certain things that God does. And so there are times, even within the church, where there have been things that have been working the power, if you will, miraculous in a sense, because God's had to intervene to do it. How many times have there been certain kinds of car wrecks or certain kinds of accidents or certain things where you know, and you know that you know, you have that confidence in yourself that God intervened, you know? Because people cried out to God to bring them through a certain thing or to do or accomplish a certain thing. And there are all kinds of things that have happened, brethren, in people's lives. In my recollection of 30-some years, you know, of things within the church, of where there's been God's intervention in people's lives in a very miraculous way when it was needed. And that's helped the other body. And some have suffered incredibly when those things have happened to them. Even them. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues, you know, languages, for a purpose. It's all, see, every one of these is for a purpose to benefit the body. That's why they're there. You know, even sometimes to hear something and being able to, I want to take the time to do this. There's a young man, somebody gave us some notes of something they'd written in a, do you mind if I say that? Do you think I should? I don't know if I should or not. My wife said I started. Well, I feel like I'm supposed to continue on. Anyway, we saw these notes, and there are just a few that know about it, I guess, but a young person who had written some notes. But you know what? It was encouraging to me because it was a very powerful reminder to me in one respect, because as we looked at some of these notes of some sermons that were given, see, it wasn't just writing down the words that were given. It was I could hear myself doing it. And there was it was like a translation, in a sense, of what a person heard and what they wrote down. You realize, you know, God's Spirit had to be at work there. To me, that's an encouraging thing. When you see God's Spirit at work in someone, regardless of who it is, regardless of what the situation, and you realize there's some molding and fashioning and something going on there, to me, that's a very encouraging thing. But the ability, don't always have the same ability in hearing certain things. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you hear something and you can give it back in the Spirit, in the sense of what is given, you realize it came from God's Spirit. And that's why sometimes this thing of translating even into languages is such a task for people. Because even the Bible, even the Word of God, because sometimes people don't understand the spirit of it. If you don't understand the spirit of it, if you're not given the spirit of it, you can't use different words to convey the thought. And that's the same way with sometimes even in English, to convey a thought. Even every one of us, God's Spirit is working with every person out there today who is hearing this, that is receiving God's Spirit, that's being worked with by God's Spirit, to help us to hear the things that are being said, not just as words, but something of the Spirit, of God's being, of God's mind, to convey it to us so that we can receive it. So it's an incredibly powerful thing to understand, brother, how God works with us. And so this thing of gifts, as it talks about here, of God's Spirit, you realize, again, it's God's Spirit to benefit others. And so someone that can do something that's given to them to pass along to someone else to convey a thought is not just always for our benefit, it can be for others as well. I think especially people who translate into different languages. And God has given that for a purpose to benefit the body. Where are we? Interpreting of tongues, jump on out here, verse 11. But all these works with the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally. In other words, this word severally here just means himself, to oneself. So God divides to every individual, if you will, as he wills, you know. And some things are poured out more at a particular time because it's needed more at a particular time. But it's up to us and a desire for our part to continually be yielded to that process and recognize that God works in us to accomplish these things. And we want to be a part of that. We want to fellowship in that. We want to share in that. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the bodies of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So it just keeps going back to the same thing throughout Passover and understanding the body of Christ and what we're all a part of. We're all a part of the body of Christ, and we're all shared together, and we all need each other. That's the message over and over again. And thankful and grateful for God's Spirit that enables us to do these things and accomplish these things. Verse 21, and I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We've already talked about some of this. You know, there's no part of the body you really can do without. The less we do without, and sometimes the things in the body that are taken out or done away with or things that are hurt or whatever and don't function as well, and the body suffers because of it. No one much more, says there in verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble or necessary. Every part of the body is needed, brother, and if we really understand God's Spirit and God's working with the body, we need each other. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body, you know, shouldn't be anything that hurts the body, divides the body. On the contrary, God will take care of those kinds of things. The body needs to work for itself, edifying itself in love, as we read in Ephesians. But that the members should have the same care one for another. There should be a desire and a care for one another within the body. And as it goes, this is natural. This verse follows naturally. This should lead us to the natural conclusion. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. That is so true, because it's a spiritual organism. It's a spiritual body. And if part of it suffers, we're all suffering. And that should be obvious in our prayers, in our communication, in our thoughts, in what we say toward one another and how we function and relate to one another. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it. I don't know, many times in the past where I've seen things happen in the church where that hasn't always been true. And you know what? Those people who those things weren't true in, they're not around today. They're just not around today. Because if someone can't rejoice with someone else in the body, when a blessing, when certain things come along their way, when they're able to rejoice about a certain thing, instead of having jealousy and envy, because that's not of God's Spirit. If God's Spirit is there, we're going to rejoice with the body when it rejoices. It's just the way it works. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Literally, literal translation means, and God did set certain in the assembly. First apostles, secondarily prophets, you know, and inspired teaching again. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. And the translation there literally means works of power. In other words, there are things that God has direct intervention and accomplished, and that has encompassed so many things that have happened in the church and continue to happen. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, different languages, so different ways of doing things, different ways of serving, different ways, all these things in the body. It's everything that the whole body experiences. Sometimes these things have been looked at more as just something the ministry has done. It's so wrong. It's the whole body. Are all apostles? Brings out that point. Are all prophets, inspired preaching, preachers, if you will? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? You know, have works of power working with them? You know, we don't all experience those things. We don't all experience them all the time. They're more of a rarity. And sometimes it's specific times in the church that they work, because there's a greater need. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And it just brings out, Paul is just addressing things of normal, natural human nature, carnal nature sometimes, because we look at the physical, and he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. In other words, there are things we can, not just one, but there are many of these different gifts here that we're going to share in. And he says, earnestly desire them. That's what that word means. It's right to desire the ability to have different things work in our life if it benefits someone else. The ability to encourage. The different things about whatever here, and all these words we've been looking at. I don't have time to go back over this. And yet show I you a more excellent way. This is beautiful when you go into the following verses then, chapter 13, and it starts talking about God's love. Because all these things, and that's what he brings out, all these things, we generally stop at the physical. And how many people get so hung up in the physical? There are people who get mad at me, quit listening to me, because they get so hung up on physical things out here. Some individuals about healing. You know, some individuals about some obscure thing that said that it has nothing to do with 21 truths and the foundation of the church, they get hung up on a little piddly thing out here. And because of that, they go off in a different direction or give excuse to themselves because there's something else that's been said that they don't like, which generally has to do with the 21 truths anyway, you know, some of those things, some of those aspects. And so people get mad, get upset because there's battles we fight inside of the Spirit. So it says all these things that we have, the God's Spirit working there, if it's not motivated out of God's love, out of God's Spirit, they mean nothing anyway. It doesn't matter how much of it we might have in life. They mean absolutely nothing if it's not for the right purpose. If it doesn't come from God's Spirit of love, of agape. That's what these verses go on to talk about. You know, it doesn't matter how eloquent someone is. It doesn't matter how inspired someone might be. It doesn't matter how many things someone might accomplish. It doesn't matter how much giving someone might do. As it says, even the point of giving their body for suffering, and sometimes that means you're not healed. Sometimes for suffering, the point of being your body being burned. He says, what good is it if it's not motivated and it doesn't have God's love in it? If it's not for the purpose of serving the body, what good is it? You know, incredible these verses do here. Let's conclude today in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, very powerful verses here. Verse 12, you may not have time to turn over there because I need to wrap this up. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know, we follow, we share in suffering. It's a part of our growth. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come, our desire for what we look forward to. By him, verse 15, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, thanks to his name. You know, a gratitude, thankfulness to be a part of the body that we're able to share. But to do good and to communicate, to fellowship, to share together with others, forget not. That's what this whole sermon series has been about. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This kind of fellowship, brethren, after it's all said and done, please understand, requires sacrifice. That's why in Romans 12 it says be a living sacrifice.